The invitation song has been announced, and in just a little bit we will be standing and we will be singing about the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. At that time, there may be someone here this morning who would want to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there is, you have that opportunity. And it would be our pleasure to assist you in any way that we possibly can in helping you to be acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God. We're thankful for the presence of all. And as we always say, especially those who are visitors, we are glad that you are here. You're a guest. We want you to feel welcome, to feel comfortable among us while you are here. And if you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us, we hope that you avail yourself of those times. If in the course of the things that we do this morning, you have any questions or comments about the things that we do in our worship unto God, then we would certainly ask that you would put those questions to one of the members here, or myself, or the elders, or one of the deacons, and we'll do the very best that we can to answer that question in a biblical way. Well, the time that we have together this morning, I'd like to talk briefly about something that I believe is very important, and that is some essentials that make for a happy home and also make for an atmosphere in raising children that is right, that is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. I believe that without too much controversy by anybody, that we would agree that the home, as it has been ordained by God, as it has been set forth in His Word, is under some very successful attack by Satan. The divorce rate in the country in which we live, and perhaps elsewhere around the world, is better than 50% among those who have, among first marriages. If I can recall correctly, among second marriages, it is even greater than that. We also can see that in our society today, that the economy is such that it has forced many mothers, many women, those who are wives in the home, who would rather probably be in the home, has forced them out of the home in order to help meet financial obligations. We have seen and are continuing to see the demands of those, of the rights of those who are homosexuals, and how that this has brought another battleground on which the family has to face a struggle. We're even finding some of our own leaders in the government that they would almost eliminate the family as God has created it. I think we can see, we would safely say, that there has been some very successful attacks by Satan upon the home as God has ordained it. As a result of this advance on the home, and also with the anxieties that are brought on by the world in which we live, I am convinced that there are many homes in our society and around the world that we would not classify as being happy. That those that are there, the husbands, the wives, the children, are not satisfied, they're not content. In short, they're just simply not happy with their home life and the situation there. And I am convinced that a happy home is one that follows the plan that God has set forth in His Word. When He created Adam and Eve and He placed them in the Garden of Eden there, and He told them to be fruitful and multiply, I believe that happy home is the one that we read about in God's Word. It is where the father is the head of the household. He is an individual that is caring and loving. He has a concern and interest in his family. He serves it in a self-sacrificing manner, seeing to the needs of the family and loving them more than he loves himself. It is a home where the mother is in subjection to, or the wife is in subjection unto her husband, where she has children in the home, and where she is doing the best that she can to nurture them and to bring them up in the ways of the Lord, and teaching them to love the Lord and to love others. It is a home where children are loved, they are cared for, they are also disciplined in that they receive instruction. That is, that they're told the positive things that they are to do. And whenever they do those things that are wrong, they are corrected in that discipline. And they are corrected, they are disciplined by the Word of God out of love by their parents. I am convinced also that since God has created us, And he has also brought into existence the home in which we are to live. And it is a place to be a place of safety and preparation for life. I am also convinced that he knows what is best for us. Unfortunately, I am also convinced that that's not what we see in the world today. What we see in the world today in many homes is that there are fathers whose authority is being usurped by both the wives and also by the children. We see mothers who are taking on their own because they demand certain rights, or they are taking simply because it is being forced upon them, the leadership in the home, because fathers and husbands will not take that leadership. We are seeing children who are being left to themselves, to be brought up by themselves, to make their own choices and to make their own decisions in life. And then they are told after they have made a mistake that they're simply going to have to live with those consequences of their choices. We see that in homes that have no guidance whatsoever, there by the father or by the mother, and of course we are seeing that this is something that is very harmful to the home as God has ordained it. Most of us truly are not family counselors. We have not been educated by modern techniques and modern philosophies as to what is to make a happy home. We don't have that kind, most of us don't have that kind of education. But I am convinced that the training manual that is most fitted has been for creating a happy home is the Bible. It is the one that has been given by God. And it is one that an individual can read and discover for themselves how to make a happy home. What are some of the essentials that are necessary within the family framework if a home is going to be happy? That's what we would like to talk about this morning in the few moments that we have. We're not going to be able to discuss everything. And perhaps as we look down this list, if you've got an outline, you may say that there's other things that need to be added, or things that would be more important than these things. And we could add to this list. But again, I believe these are some of the things that are very essential. If we're going to have the home and the home atmosphere that God expects of those who are trying to be pleasing in His sight. One of the first things that we have noted here is I am convinced that in order to have a happy, a successful, and a contented home, you must have peace in that home. That is peace between the husband and wife, that which exists between the children and parents. This peaceful setting must be there if children are going to grow properly and if the husband and wife are also going to grow and love one another. One of the things that we can readily see is that in many of the homes that exist today, there is not this peace. There is always, it seems to be, a constant bickering between the husband and the wife. The children are never happy because it seems like they never get satisfied with the things that they want. And there's constant turmoil there. And it's not a happy home. It's not one where people are content. People are satisfied. It's not where they can grow properly. In Proverbs 17 in verse 1, the proverb has made the statement there, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. And in the 15th chapter of Proverbs in verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. One of the things that we believe in our society, we've been convinced in our society today, is that the more possessions that we have, then the happier we are going to be. But all too often, as we have maybe seen ourselves in our own lives, we can certainly see in others' lives, that the more material possessions they have, it seems like the less happy they are, that the less peace exists in that home. The proverb is said a long time ago that a house with very little is better as long as it has peace, rather than having a lot of things and strife and hatred. And I think we'll all readily agree with that. that if our goal is a peaceful, happy home, then if we have to separate ourselves from material things in order to gain that, then it is better for us to do that. Every home needs a peaceful atmosphere. Again, I am convinced that it is necessary for the well-being of every member of the family. There must be a love for husband and father. There must be a love for the mother and for the wife, and also for the children. What brings peace in a home will be the other things that we're going to speak about this morning in this lesson. But these things would top the list, perhaps, that we must have peace in the home if it is going to be what God wants it to be. Certainly we know that there cannot be peace and there cannot be happiness in a home where there is strife. And there are many things that contribute to strife in a home. One of those things that we have noted is selfishness. Selfishness may be at the very top of the list when it comes to causing discontentment within the family unit. Perhaps we have been a part of a family, or we have seen families where it is left up to the father and his every wish and his every desire must be met. That he is the ruler of the household and he is going to rule it by one way or the other. He is going to rule it with an iron rod. He is going to have his way in the family. Everything must be done in order to satisfy him without any regards to the wife or to the children. I've seen homes just like that. Perhaps you have too. And it does not make for a happy setting. People there, the wives and the children, the husband may be very, very happy, but the rest of them are not, because their needs many times have to go in order to meet the desires of the father and the husband. Or perhaps it is where the wife is in that home. She's simply not content with the role that God has given unto her in the family unit. And she shows a selfishness. Everything has to be done her way. Her will and her desires are the things that come first. Or perhaps it may be with children, that they think of nothing more than themselves, of their own desires, their own wishes, and they must be met, and if they are not met, then everybody in the home is going to be unhappy. Selfishness is one of those things that will destroy peace and harmony within the family unit. And everybody must learn to love one another in this family unit. We need to put away selfishness, not only in the family unit, but everywhere. Because it's only self-serving. We're only looking after the things of ourselves. And certainly this is not what a servant of God ought to do. Materialism is another thing that I am convinced that will destroy the peace within the family. We live in a time when there are many things that are available to us. You can get whatever it is you want. You know, you don't even have to have the money. People will extend you credit and can have just whatever you want to. You can have more, really, than what you need, perhaps even more than what you desire. And it seems that everyone in the family can afford to have what they want. And many times in many families, we find everybody getting their desires fulfilled. And everybody has their own toy, and everybody has their own thing to do. And there's no time that is used in sharing one with another. We live, again, in a time when we think things will buy happiness. And we discover that is not the case. We discover too many times that the husband has his toys and his hobbies, and he will go in his direction doing whatever he wants to do. The wife, the mother, has her toys and her hobbies and whatever it might be, and she goes in her direction doing what she wants to do. And every one of the children also has been indulged to such an extent that they have exactly what they want, and they go in every different direction And nobody shares any time one with another. And it's because of the materialism. Now, I'm not advocating here we need to get rid of everything that we have. But perhaps we need to be wise in choosing the things that we bring into the home. Everybody goes off in their own different directions because of their own self-interest. And they have no time one for another. Materialism. Again, thinking, and our thinking is that it's going to bring happiness. But all too often we have seen that it has destroyed the peace within the home and the happiness that is there. Favoritism is another thing, where one is favored over the other. You know, where perhaps it is the father who would favor the children over the mother, or the mother favoring the children over the father, or something like that, or one of the children being favored more than the rest of them. We have seen examples of that in the Bible, of how that in the case of Isaac, that he favored Esau, and in the case of Rebekah, she favored Jacob. And later we see how that led to disharmony and a destruction there, we might say, of the family unit, as we see Rebekah siding with Jacob in deceiving Isaac in getting his birthright. We even see that carried on to the next generation, where Jacob favored one son, Joseph, over all of the others, and how that led to hatred. That led to discontentment within the family to the point of where they even hated Joseph, wanted to kill him, and finally sold him off into slavery. We can see this destroy the peace and the harmony that exists within a home. Also, we would note that being discontent with the things that we have in this life is something that will destroy the peace that God wants to exist in every home that He has created. Some people are never satisfied with what they have. And when they get what they want, they may be satisfied with it for a little while, but with materialism, something better always comes along. The things that we have are always getting older, and we want something else. And we become discontent. Even with marriage partners, we find that in our society today, people are becoming discontent. They're not following the plan of God. And whenever they get dissatisfied with one partner, they will try another one or another one until they think that they can get it right. We have instruction in the Word of God concerning contentment. Paul wrote it to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8. Something that we need to keep in mind at all times. Where he said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will take nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we should be content." When we become discontent, when we become individuals who want more and more and more, and we're not happy with what God provides for us, that is going to destroy the peace that should exist in the home. Peace is something that I believe that is very essential. If a husband and wife are going to grow, they're going to love, if children are going to be brought up in a home in a proper environment, if there is always strife, if there is always a fighting and always contention going on, then that's not going to be a happy atmosphere. The second thing that we have noted here is that of time being shared one with another. I am convinced that this is something that will bring the family together. One of the things that's characteristic of our society today is involvement. Now, I'm not talking about involvement in the affairs of everybody else's life. I'm talking about the involvement in the affairs of our own life. We're involved in the things that interest us. As we mentioned, everybody in the family has his or her own thing to do. Dad has his work, or maybe his hobbies. Mom has her work, or her hobbies, or maybe it's involvement in school activities. The children have every social activity that they want to engage in, anything that interests them. they become involved in. And everybody, as I said, goes all their separate ways. It has gotten to the point where in many families today, most of the meals are not shared together. Everybody grabs a bite here and there and runs in 7 or 8 different directions. And nobody spends any time together. And whenever any time is spent together, usually it's planning the next day's activities, or perhaps it's sitting in front of the TV, and everybody is too tired to share their time one with another because they are so interested in the things that they want to do. We've heard much about quality time in the past generation or so. People spend quality time together. I am convinced that all too often that's a catchy phrase to make those who are too busy not feel so guilty about their failures and about their not being involved in the lives of others. A happy family is one, I am convinced, that spends time together. Spend time sharing things in this life. Happiness comes from knowing that others are interested in what I am doing, and I am interested in what they are doing. The father may want to be asked, well, how is work going? How are things going at the office or down at the shop? Mother may want to have something asked about the home activities and how things are going there, or how things are going at school for the children. And all too often, we don't have time to do that. Are there problems among any members of the family? We need to know these things so that we can help one another. One of the chief reasons children have an unhappy home life is because parents and because others don't seem to be interested in them. They don't seem to be interested in the things that they're doing, and especially in the problems that they are having and how to face and how to overcome those problems. Where there is communication, where there is time that is shared, there is love, and there is respect. There's the opportunity for all of these things to grow. There are biblical instructions given unto us that require that we're going to spend some time together. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, Paul writes to children and parents there, and he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, if we're going to fulfill those commands as God wants us to do, then we're going to spend some time together. We're going to learn one another. We're going to know about interest. Children are going to learn to obey their parents. Parents are going to teach their children. They're going to spend time with them, telling them and in teaching them the important things in life. In that same opening in most of your Bibles, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28 and 29, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Now, if husbands and wives would do that, they're going to spend time together. They're going to have to share this life together. They're going to learn something about each other. You can't do this without sharing time. It's important for a happy home. We can turn over. We don't have it listed on the outline. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7. The same thing says there concerning husbands and wives. How that the husband is to abide with his wife according to knowledge. That's going to take time. And how wives are again to be in submission unto their husband. That's going to take time. We see examples in Acts the 18th chapter of Aquila and Priscilla, how that they must have spent some time together. They were both children of God, and they took Apollos aside, and they taught him more correctly the word of God. Here I am convinced as a family, a husband and wife that spent time together. They were of the same occupation. They worked with Paul in making tents. We find other cases. In the case of Abraham, God made this statement concerning Abraham in the 18th chapter and verse 19 of the book of Genesis, where he says, "Therefore I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the word of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Abraham was one who was faithful. Abraham was one who, if he did this, was going to spend time with his family, with his children, those that were in his household. Again, I'm convinced that this is something that is necessary if we're going to enjoy a happy home life, that we are going to spend time together. God has created us social beings. He's created the family unit for a reason, and I'm convinced that's one of them. Another thing that is necessary for a happy home is that of truth. Truth within the home. The knowledge that everybody in the family has one standard that they can turn to. One standard that they can look to establish what is right and what is wrong. Great happiness comes from that. Comes from knowing that everybody in the family is subject to one standard, and that is the Word of God. That it is set forth higher than anything else is in the family. Unhappiness comes from many things in this regard. I am convinced that unhappiness oftentimes comes from the husband or the father, their word or their wishes being the one thing that guides the family. Because all too often, their wants and their wishes and their desires can be something that is ever changing. There's no real stability in that. We may think that there is, but we change through the years. We change from one thing to the next. We change from one thing being right to something else being right. And if our own wishes are left as a standard, all too often, one time may be right. Something may be right one time, and it may be wrong the next time. Unhappiness comes from one person's standard being the rule. From the mother or the wife, her words or her wishes being the thing that guides the family. Or once again, children being left on their own to decide what is right and what is wrong. Children need guidance. Children want guidance. They want help. It may be that they would demonstrate an attitude of leave me alone, let me make my own decisions, but that's not the case. They need help. They need and they want guidance. When problems arise, they need to answer. They need some advice from those who are wiser and those who are older. It is God's truth that must guide the home if it's going to have the greatest happiness. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, one of the instructions that was given to the children of Israel by Moses, as he writes, was that they were to teach their children the commandments of God. Teach them everything. He says, teach them diligently to your children. And they shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. In other words, have them constantly before you. Let every member of the family know that it is the Word of God that is the one standard that is turned to when problems arise, when questions need to be answered, that it is God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 10 through 15, we find Paul writing to Timothy there about his life, that is, about Timothy's life and how he was raised and how he had good examples and how that in those good examples that it was the Word of God that was the standard. Verse 14 and 15, "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There must be one infallible standard to direct the lives of the family and to answer the questions and the problems that arise. And when everybody recognizes that, then that's going to be a happier home. It's going to be an atmosphere where children can grow up and they can develop, and also the love between every member in the family can develop. We also noted here that one of the things that is needed in a happy home is that of examples. We use the word role model today. We hear it being used time and time again. The children, that we all need some kind of role model. We need examples. Every one of us do. Good examples for the Christian to follow is something that is very hard to find in our society. Those that are godly examples are not the ones that catch the eye of the public. Those that catch the eye of the public are the athletes and the movie stars, those individuals who have feet of clay and they're doing the things that are wrong and they don't want anybody to follow them. Those who are good are hard to find because, you see, they don't live the exciting life that is before everybody. But we should have examples, and we should be examples to follow. We, as we just read just a few moments ago, there in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, that Timothy had examples. He had his mother and he had his grandmother to follow. Paul said, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I am of Christ." He was an example. Timothy was instructed to be an example. The elders in the church are instructed to be examples. Parents are instructed to be examples. We all need to find an example of a faithful child of God. Look to that individual or individuals and try to pattern many of the things in our life after them. This is not something that God does not want us to do. God wants us to follow godly examples. But we all should know that everybody is human and we're all going to make mistakes. And there has only been one infallible, perfect example, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And He should be foremost in patterning our lives after Him. Parents must be proper examples for their children also. This is going to be something that is going to make a happy home where people are content, where everybody there is satisfied, and they can grow as God would have them to. The last thing that we have noted is that of discipline. When we talk about discipline, I'm talking about everybody in the family, not just the children. That may be the first thing that comes to our mind. But everybody in the family needs to have discipline if they're going to be happy. Again, our society says, hold nothing back. Whatever you want to do, you do that thing. And if it, you know, whatever makes you happy, you go ahead, you do it. Don't restrain yourself. Don't stop from doing anything that you want to do. The Bible teaches discipline. It teaches self-discipline. It teaches corrective and also instructive discipline. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, one of those things that is listed as one of the Christian virtues, as they are called, is self-control. That should be one of the things that's foremost in our life. What is he talking about? He's talking about discipline. Controlling yourself. Not just letting your passions and your desires have full reign of you, throwing off all restraint and all barriers. Again, that's what our society says. God says self-control. The book of Proverbs says in the 13th chapter of Proverbs, in verse 24, about instruction that is given to children or to parents concerning children, we find several passages that show discipline. In the 13th chapter, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Footnote says early. Disciplines children early. A lot of times, again, we get this concept in our head that children have to be so old before we discipline them. They have to be up almost as early teens or a little before then before they're going to understand what discipline is. It says, do that promptly, do that early. And if you don't, you hate your children. In Proverbs 22 and verse 15, there's a passage there, again, along these same lines, where it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, again, we have the philosophy today that let children make their own decisions. Let them do whatever they want to do. They're free. They can make whatever decisions they decide they want to make. That's best for them. They know what they want. The proverb says, through observation of time, the wise man says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But he says that the rod will drive it far from him. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 13, do not hold with correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now that's not an absolute statement, we know that. None of these are meant to be absolute statements, they're proverbs. We have seen in our own society how children can be beat to death. But in this, we're talking about a parent who loves their children and wants to discipline them and make corrections in their life. And that parent is not going to beat that child to death. They're going to correct that child. Just because there have been abuses in this area doesn't mean that we throw it out altogether. God says that we are to discipline children. This is something that is necessary in the home. One of the reasons for unhappiness in homes is because parents have no self-control. No control over themselves or their children. They fail to teach it to their children. They fail to instruct it to them and even to correct them. A lot of times, and for the last few years, we've been hearing children being told, just say no to drugs. Parents need to learn just to say no many times. They need to say no to their children. I was told about an incident that happened just this past week, and maybe you heard about it yourself. How that this 13-year-old up in Michigan wanted to, for the birthday that they had, to get on top of the car and drive down the road. Well, the parents wouldn't let him at first. But they became so insistent that the parents wore down, and they allowed the 13-year-old to get on top of the car, drive down the road, and at 40 miles an hour, the child fell off and died. This because parents could not say no to their children. Unfortunately, that's what happened in our society. Children who are being raised with almost every wish that they want granted, we're seeing that. They expect everything that they want and immediately, and they think that they're going to gain happiness in all of these things that they have. Discipline is something that is necessary if a home is going to be happy. We have also noted that there are plenty of other things that could be added to this list. One of the things that we may most think of is that of why was not love mentioned at the very top of the list? Well, I'm convinced that love is demonstrated in all of these things that we've talked about. It's demonstrated in peace, in discipline, in the example that we ought to have one for another, in the truth, and all of these other things. This love is the thing that ties all of these together, and it's demonstrated in this. I am convinced that there also needs to be a respect for one another, an esteem for one another, and many other things. There are too many homes in the world in which we live today which we could categorize as being unhappy. They're just simply not the way that they ought to be. Happiness is something that is secured when we follow the Word of God. When we follow the book that is the manual for raising children, for creating a home that is pleasing in the sight of God. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be the simplest thing in the world to create the home that God intended. There are too many things that are going to tempt each and every one of us to do what's wrong. And as I said in the very beginning, Satan is really mounting attack in our society today against the home. And there's so many fronts on which we must be on our guard. It's not going to be easy. The world is going to oppose a godly home. They're not going to go along with it. They're going to oppose it. But God is going to bless a home that follows the pattern that He has set forth in His Word. Perhaps there are many other things that we could add to this list. Hopefully this has been helpful. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, as we said in the very beginning, the song has been selected. And perhaps there are words in that song concerning the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that will convince you to be obedient unto the gospel of Christ this morning. We hope that is the case. We hope that you know what you need to do if you're not one, if you're not a child of God. If you need to have faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you're added to the family of God, enjoying the blessings in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You're spiritually alive, no longer alienated and separated from God. If as a child of God in some way you've approached the name of Christ, if you've sinned and you need to ask forgiveness in the prayers of the congregation here, you need that strength that other Christians can give unto you to overcome temptations in your life. This is an opportunity you have. We pray that you'd avail yourself of that as we stand and as we sing.